same-day half-price tickets at leading regional theaters and cultural organizations, including the Wick Theater, Broward Stage, The Plaza, Island City Stage, and Actors Playhouse. Information and a complete list of shows online at culturalconnection.org. culturalconnection.org, your ticket to the cultural arts.
On the next Sunshine Economy, we feature conversations with several of South Florida's top CEOs about the opportunities and the shortcomings of doing business here. I'm Tom Hudson. Join us Monday morning at 9 for the CEOs leading the Sunshine Economy, made possible by Kaufman Rawson.
And welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Coming up later on the program, Judith Bishop interviews choreographer Rosie Herrera about her premiere, debuting soon at the Ballet Hispanico at the Arched Center. Music contributor Chris DeAngelis previews the 13th annual Huki Lau, which is a festival that celebrates Polynesian culture, and it's coming soon to Fort Lauderdale. Chef Norman Van Aken delivers a word on food, and our Florida Keys calendar features Andy Newman. How about this for a concept? No child should grow up hungry in America. That's the mission of the not-for-profit Share Our Strength. Unfortunately, one child in five struggles with hunger issues in our country. My first guest today, together with his friends who share that mission, are holding their annual South Florida fundraiser, Share Our Strengths, Taste of the Nation South Florida, Tuesday, June 17th from 7 to 10 p.m. in the main ballroom of the Lowe's Miami Beach Hotel. And with us today to tell us more about this important cause is the renowned chef, Mr. Alan Susser. And welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat, Alan.
Well, pleasure to see you. Thank you, Ed.
You are the event chairman of this here in South Florida. You've seen many years of fundraisers for Share Our Strength. Take us back to tell us about Share Our Strength's origins. Where and when was it organized?
Okay. Well, I'm actually the founding chairman of Share Our Strength here in Miami. And it's been about 27 years now. So year after year, we are still in it, trying to make a difference to feed people. In the beginning, when we started, we were talking about feeding people in general and fighting hunger in general. And there were a lot of need for it back then, 25 years ago. We created the Chef's Event. So Taste the Nation is what we call a Chef's Event. We're gathering chefs to add their creativity, their talent. They bring the food, and we hold a fundraiser called Taste of the Nation. So what we did with that in Miami, usually got about 30 chefs together. This was done across the country in about 40 or 50 different cities all at the same time, so that we sort of make a significant difference and raise some good money. One of the keys to this Taste of the Nation event and why the chefs love it is because 100% of the ticket price goes to feeding people.
That is so generous.
Okay, it's
not administrative costs.
Not through administrative costs. Everybody who comes in, 100% of their ticket price goes towards feeding people.
Bravo.
And through the years, probably about 10 years ago now, we really started to focus on childhood hunger. We realized that kids growing up, no matter where they are, it's not just of people that were on the street or less fortunate, but there are kids hungry everywhere. Our neighbors, it's unbelievable. Last night, for example, 495,000 kids here in South Florida went to sleep hungry, not knowing where their next meal is. So that's a big monster that we're facing. And by the chefs that do cooking for a living, cooking for love because they love it and they have a passion for cooking. That's kind of where I get these chefs together. This year for Taste the Nation, we have over 60 chefs. It's unbelievable how many chefs want to get involved. They realize that they need to be involved in the community, and the way that they want to be involved in the community is through cooking for the community. And so here, if we're cooking for kids, if we're cooking to help kids, this is really where we can make a difference for today, but also really in our future. So by allowing our kids to grow up healthier, ready to learn, ready to be there, who's going to, you know, that's where we need to take care of our kids. That's our future leaders. And that they're going to be the decision makers.
So important. It's such an important mission on a worldwide basis,
absolutely.
Unfortunately. Alan, tell us, last year your group's efforts included more than 50 local restaurants and chefs and raised more than $130,000. And what did that accomplish for hungry kids just in the U.S.?
Yeah. Well, it's amazing. Well, that money that we raised actually raised about or fed about 13 million meals for kids. As an overall, since the beginning of Share Our Strength, we have fed 104 million meals to kids. Mm-hmm. 104 million meals. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is amazing. I'm just so proud of the chefs that participate, the people that come out to the event, the sponsors throughout Miami, throughout South Florida, throughout Florida, and throughout the United States, how we've all come together to help. Because there is a big need to fight this, and to fighting childhood hunger, there is a mission that can be. We have enough food.
Yeah.
We just have to pay attention to how we feed them.
Tell us about some of your sponsors. The list is so long, but let's give credit where credit is due.
The Lowe's Hotel,
sure.
Who's our host, which is great. Sysco, which is a national restaurant sponsor. Mm-hmm. American Express and Food Network as well. All people who love food, love people that are involved. So we've got them. Lincoln Motor Company, Nespresso, Panache as well. So we've got a lot of people that are here, as well as participation from Feeding South Florida and Florida Impact and Flippany, which are some of our beneficiaries. And so that the money raised locally stays locally, and that's really what's wonderful about
this.
Very
important.
We have the participants that come out and join us on June 17th for Taste of the Nation. We have the sponsors that help us to shed some of the costs, but also a lot of that money still goes back into it. And then we have the people that come in, enjoy a great evening of the best food, the best wine in South Florida, because we've got the great chefs.
And we're going to get to the chefs in just a minute, but I wanted to offer you a prediction.
Okay.
Next year, Food Network will be down here taping for a television show, because all of the country needs to get together on this effort and back up Share Our Strength. Wouldn't that be fun?
That'd be fun.
That would be great. Let's hope it happens. Tell us about some of the restaurants and the great chefs that will be featured this year at Share Our Strength's Taste of the Nation South Florida.
Okay. So I want to first recognize a couple of chefs here because we've got a lot of chefs. We have 60 chefs. A couple of chefs actually... Most of the chefs show up that day, bring their food, bring their team, and work the event Taste of the Nation. But I've had a couple of chefs who came to me last year and said, "Chef, I want to get involved. I want to do more than just show up that day. I want to help you run the show. I want to help learn. I want to be a part of feeding the kids." So I've actually created a chef's advisory council. Timon Bellu is the restaurant chair. So Timon from Sugarcane is part of it. Todd Erickson from Haven is also a part of our committee. Jamie Rosa from Tongue in Cheek, again, he's going to be there, but he's also put in the time and effort. Chef Frederick from the Lowe's Hotel also has joined us. So these guys, amongst a couple others, Brett and Jessica, you know, there's a couple other folks that I really have to say thanks to my committee as well. But let's talk about some of the chefs. They're tremendous. DB Bistro, we have the chef from Edge. Joe's Stone Crab is going to be out there. Andre,
ooh,
you'll see them. The chef from Little Palm Island. Raleigh's going to be with us. Josh Capon from the Fish, from Lure Bar. Ralph Pagano, Naked Taco, is going to be there, and he's going to actually help us with the live auction. So he's a character, and we're going to have some fun with him. And also cooks great. Jose from Pub Belly is going to be there. Rocco from Our House, Red Steakhouse, Sea Level, Satay, Shikani, Bula Bread and Butter, Biscayne Tavern, the Delano, Azul. I mean, unbelievable. Mm. These are the guys that are cooking and girls that are cooking. And where else do you want to be? Because I'll tell you what, on that night, the best dinner is going to be at the Lowe's for Taste of the Nation, because they're not in their restaurant that
Pluralize
night.
That for us, the
yeah,
best dinners.
The best dinners, because if you're not clear, this is a taste around. so that you go around and you can have little tastes of all 60 restaurants and chefs, and not only that, but match it with wines and beers and cocktails. So this is a magnificent party.
I'm in heaven.
Yeah.
So I bet a lot of people are coming to just do your basic production, similar food events. What, 1,000 kids helping you out from the schools or something?
Well, from the schools, we have FIU has always been fabulous, and Mark D'Alessandro is our lead liaison with FIU, and he's bringing out
great chef himself.
He is, and he's bringing out a great number of the kids to help as volunteers. We get other volunteers as well, because there's so many different components to it. That with the silent auction, the live auction, load in and load out of getting all these guys to bring all their food and set them up and do all of that. It's a production.
And have everything fresh and delicious. I just can't imagine it.
Yeah, the chefs are wonderful. This is probably the best food event in South Florida of the whole year, because it's enough restaurants and enough space at the Lowe's.
Enough diversity
that people just love it, and there's not pushing, there's not big lines, there's just all sorts of wonderful things.
Share Our Strengths, Taste of the Nation, South Florida, Tuesday, June 17th, 7 to 10 p.m. in the main ballroom at the Lowe's Miami Beach Hotel. More info at nokidhungry.org/South Florida. Ticket information at ce.nokidhungry.org/South Florida. In our last minute, Chef Alan Susser, Chef's Allen's Urban Pickles.
That's right.
We have that to look forward to. Wow.
That's right. Urban Pickles. I'm making beautiful homemade pickles. Florida cucumbers turned into pickles. Small barrel production. 7 different varieties.
Right here in South Florida.
Right here in South Florida.
Bravo.
Cold fermentation, so it's actually real healthy, probiotics in there.
Yeah.
Tastes are dynamite. Kicking Asian, lemon ginger, lime chipotle pickles, hot and sassy. And then also, obviously, a classic of a sea salt and fresh dill small barrel pickle and a bread and butter.
And we'll find out more information about that at your website.
At chefallens.com.
And thank you so much, Alan Susser, for joining us. Good luck. Hope you get the Food Network down next year to put this on cable TV, and hope you raise over $1 million to feed kids all over this country. Share Our Strengths, Taste of the Nation, South Florida, Tuesday, June 17th. More info at nokidhungry.org/South Florida. Good luck to you, sir.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for your help, everyone.
We're funded by listeners like you and by ringbyname.com, a provider of business phone systems. Ring by Name works in English, Spanish, and Portuguese, and office phones are included. Details at ringbyname.com and at 305-728-6462.
This is Christopher Kimball, host of America's Test Kitchen. Each week I give our test cook Dan a recipe challenge, and it's never easy.
So, Chris, the big challenge with gluten-free baking is that you're not using wheat flour. So what we did is we found 4 basic tricks that led to really excellent chocolate chip cookies.
So join us each week on America's Test Kitchen, Saturdays at 3 p.m., following the TED Radio Hour.
Once a month, our South Florida Arts Beat program features a live musical performance featuring South Florida artists. And every week, we bring you important news on the arts in our region. We're WLRN. That's just one way we're serving South Florida.
South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, music contributor Chris DeAngelis takes us to the annual celebration of Polynesian culture known as the Hukilau, coming soon to Fort Lauderdale. Chef Norman Van Aken dishes out a word on food, and our Florida Keys calendar features Andy Newman. Right now, contributor Judith Bishop discusses a world premiere coming to the Arsht Center as part of their Night Masterworks season Ziff Signature Dance Series.
A world premiere is coming to Miami when Ballet Hispanico appears at the Adrian Arsht Center on Friday, June 6th and Saturday, June 7th. Acclaimed dancer turned choreographer Rosie Herrera will debut an original work called Showgirl as part of the program. Ballet Hispanico was founded in 1970 and has won the hearts of audiences and critics for their high energy and first-rate techniques. The troupe, based in New York and led by artistic director Eduardo Villaro, has been called the soul of Latin dance. Their repertoire spans decades and continents, fusing classical and contemporary. Here to talk about their first ever Miami performance is dancer and choreographer Rosie Herrera. Rosie Herrera, thank you for joining us today on South Florida Arts Beat. Before we talk about your newest creation and Ballet Hispanico, let's talk a little bit about you and your career. You've spent most of your life here in Miami. How did you break into the high stakes and very high stress world of dance?
Well, I was very lucky. I was commissioned in 2009 by the Miami Light Project and the Adrian Arsht Center for the Performing Arts to do a work as part of the Here and Now Miami Made series. And lucky for me, sitting in the audience was Charles Reinhardt, who was the president and the director of the American Dance Festival for 43 years. And he's a very powerful and important person in the world of dance. And he was in the audience and he came to the performance, I think, every night. And a couple weeks after that, he invited me to the American Dance Festival. The American Dance Festival offered me this humongous opportunity for exposure. I saw a lot of different people. A lot of different people saw my work. And from there, and with their support, as well as with the support here in Miami, I started getting more higher profile opportunities outside of Miami. So I was very lucky.
Absolutely. Hard work and luck. A good combination. Do you still dance? And how many years did you spend as an actual dancer?
Well, I think I've been dancing since I was a sperm. I've been dancing my whole life.
I think that's a Woody Allen movie, the dancing sperms or something.
I'm Cuban and Puerto Rican, so it's part of how we connect as a family. It's still to this day the way that I communicate with my father is dancing on Sundays. So it's just part of my culture. But I actually broke into performance coming more from a theater. I was more interested in theater, and hip-hop was urban dance. You could say was urban dance, was my first foray into professional dance. I began my formal training as a dancer at 18 years old at New World School of the Arts, and I've been dancing professionally ever since then, which wasn't that long ago. I don't want to age myself, but I was dancing for a long time in a variety of different performance genres, ranging from, you know, traditional contemporary dance to dance theater to opera to cabaret to drag, kind of the whole gamut of performance. And my whole interest in choreography actually began with a desire to perform. I was like, well, I'm not getting picked for this piece and I'm not getting picked for this piece, so let me just make my own piece and then I can be in it. But in 2009, when I had that great opportunity with Charles Reinhardt at the American Dance Festival, everything kind of snowballed, and very quickly I found myself being a full-time choreographer and director, and performance took a backseat.
I've always been fascinated by ballet dancers because a violinist leaves the stage, packs away the violin, and goes on with his or her life, but your body is your instrument in the world of dance. It affects what you eat, how much you sleep. What was that like on a day-to-day basis, trying to stay in peak shape?
It's interesting, you know, because I come from, like I said, a predominantly urban dance background, I had a very backwards entrance into formalized training. And so coming from hip hop, there's an emphasis and importance very early from the very beginning on improvisation and style, your own personality. And that's really what defines you as a dancer. And in ballet, the uniformity of line is very important. So I never struggled as much as my friends who had grown up doing ballet with really owning my voice. I didn't really struggle with that. So I'm grateful for that. But at the same time, yes, you know, once you're opened up to that, literally standing in front of a mirror for 8 hours a day, 8 hours a day messes with your mind. But I don't know. I never really saw it as a a challenge. I just saw it as like a way of life. You can feel yourself, and I can tell you this from personal experience right now, as someone who hasn't been performing for 2 years and now starting to perform a little bit more, that it's a very frustrating feeling when you're not, like how we say, on your leg, when you don't have that freedom of expression in your body that you know you had at a certain time. So I never really saw it as a challenge. I mean, being a dancer is just awesome. I mean, everybody always thinks it's so hard. No, it's totally awesome. It's great. It's great. You get to like express yourself with your body, and you are so sensitive because you have, your work is the mastery of the physical. You have incredible sensitivity to everything around you. So I think it makes you a little bit more alive and to sensations and experiences. So,
do you think that being a dancer is almost a prerequisite for being a choreographer?
Yes.
And how did your freedom of expression and artistic sensibility manifest from being on stage to being the creator of the ballet?
You know, it's interesting. I, as I mentioned earlier, have had experiences that really run the gamut of performance genres. And when I was at New World, which is a dance conservatory here in Miami, a phenomenal school, I always felt that pressure to pick. They're like, well, you know, if you're going to be a dancer, you have to dance. And I was an opera singer and a dancer, and I did hip hop, and I danced in the cabaret, and I did drag, and I was involved in all these different things. But I never felt fully satisfied, or that all my intellectual and physical curiosities were satisfied with just one avenue. So when I formed my company in 2009, I selected the drag queen from the drag world and the b-boy from the hip-hop world and the dancers from school and the opera singer from the Performers Music Institute Opera Ensemble. And before I knew it, that was my company. And so I think that exposure to so many different performance genres made me more quickly have to understand what is essential in each performer. And that's what I'm looking for.
Your new work, Showgirl, world premiere here in Miami at the Arch Center. What do we expect in Showgirl? What are we going to see? All those disparate elements that you were just talking about, or something entirely?
I think Showgirl is a huge departure for me as an artist. Obviously, it has its signature rosy aesthetic, but I take a lot of risks in this work that I am pretty excited about, working with silence, working with text, working with an entirely different group of dancers who are phenomenal, but not my company, not the usual way that I work. So I think that the audiences will be surprised by the work that they see. Can I tell you a little bit about the inspiration?
Yeah, sure.
So mm-hmm. Whenever I start to create a work, I try to have three different points of departure. The first one, which is the most important, is just that guttural seed. I try to work with all themes that are subject matter that affect me in my gut. Just a gut reaction. And so for Showgirl, this gut reaction was that experience where you have a humongous emotional reaction to something that you have to compress for the greater good. A mother, for example, whose child has asked her like 1,000 times, but what's this and what's that and what's this and what's that? And, you know, wants to fly off the handle, but she has to compress that emotional experience for the greater good of something. And I was inspired within that subject to look at showgirls because there were, within this aesthetic, they were serving the purpose, whether it was through framing, whether it was through, the majority of the time it's framing, something else. They are the frame for another image. It's never really about their experience. And so that's the thematics of it. Aesthetics, obviously, I was really interested in Las Vegas and Cuban style showgirl movements and about how the carriage of the body in a certain direction and posture informs you emotionally. So just physically putting yourself in a certain position and starting to intellectually dissect that will inform you in a very deep emotional sense.
Well, it sounds very exciting at the Arch Center coming up very shortly. Rosie Herrera, thank you for joining us today on South Florida Arts Beat.
Thank you for having me.
Ballet Hispanico will perform at the Adrian Arch Center on Friday night, June 6th, and Saturday, June 7th. For more information, log on to archcenter.org or telephone 305-949-6722. For South Florida Arts Beat, this is Judith Bishop.
Judith Bishop is a television journalist who has covered breaking news, politics, and the arts for WABC and CNBC. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will return in just a moment.
Ballet Hispanico, America's premier Latino dance company, debuts at the Arts Center June 6th and 7th. Smashingly theatrical, says the Chicago Sun-Times. The New York Times describes them as silky, sexy joy. You can be the first to see the world premiere of Showgirl, a piece by Miami choreographer Rosie Herrera, and the epic work Danzón, featuring jazz clarinetist Paquito de Rivera. Live, Ballet Hispanico, two nights only. Tickets at 305-949-6722 or archcenter.org.
Do you find yourself taking addictive prescription medications to control your chronic pain? There is another way. Hanley Center addresses prescription pain medication addiction while helping you manage your chronic pain. There is hope. West Palm Beach's Hanley Center for Comprehensive Addiction Treatment understands and is there to help. Hanley Center, 855-718-2233 or online at hanleycenter.org. Recovery for life.
Oh, we're going to a hooky-low. Hooky, 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 hooky-low.
It's South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, Chef Norman Van Aken presents A Word on Food, and our Florida Keys calendar features Andy Newman.
Oh, we're going to a hooky-low. Hooky, 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 hooky-low.
Right now, contributor Chris DeAngelis previews the, quote, most authentic tiki event in the world, unquote, coming to Fort Lauderdale starting June the 11th.
Next week, South Florida will play host to the largest and most well-known Hawaiian-themed party in the continental U.S., the Hukilau. The Hukilau is a four-day-long celebration of Pacific Island culture, mid-century modern style, live music, and inspired bartending. It's going to run from Thursday, June 11th through Sunday, June 15th. There will be art shows, bartending seminars, craftsmen and vendors, lectures, mermaids, burlesque dancers, and performances by some of the finest sounding bands from across the country and beyond. Most of the action will take place at Fort Lauderdale's Bahia Mar Hotel, although Saturday night's main event takes place at the fabulous Mai Kai restaurant. First opened in 1956 and still going strong, the Mai Kai is one of the last of the original large-scale tiki-themed showplaces still in existence. The Mai Kai is the magnet that has drawn exotica aficionados and lovers of tropical drinks with little umbrellas in them down to Fort Lauderdale year after year. We spoke about the 13th annual Hukilau and all things tiki with event organizer and renowned tiki expert Tiki Kaliki, who also occasionally goes by the name of Christy White. Tiki Kaliki, welcome to South Florida Arts Beat.
Aloha, thank you.
We're so happy to hear the Hukilau is coming to town once again, 13th annual. For our folks that have never been to the Hukilau, what would you tell them?
Well, what I would tell them is that they need to probably put on their best party hat and join everyone having a good time. I think people's fear of, you know, coming to the Hukilau sometimes is that they're not into tiki culture, and you really don't have to be. As long as you like to have a great time, like to listen to amazing music, and have fun with other people, it's a great place to be.
And tiki culture, what is tiki culture?
Oh, it's an appreciation of a time gone by. Since we have such a marvelous example of the tiki's history, the Mai Kai opened since 1956 in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. That's really, you know, if anyone's in the area or can look it up, maikai.com, it'll kind of show you the best example of that time period. But it is an appreciation of the time when tiki bars were a part of everyday existence, and they were pretty much on every corner of every city in America. You could just literally walk in the door and escape to another place in time, another dimension. For our tiki culture now, it's an appreciation of that period and that time.
So wear your best Hawaiian shirt or your vintage 50s or 60s outfit. Get ready to drink some rum.
That's right. Or wear a sundress, you know. Just come out and celebrate with everybody.
You have a lot of entertainment throughout the four-day schedule. Give us a little rundown of who you have coming in this year.
Okay. We have a band coming all the way from Belgium, a 16-piece band called The Left Arm of Buddha. They appreciate exotica, the classic exotica, that used to come out of, you know, the 1950s, such as Martin Denny and Arthur Lyman.
They're named after a Les Baxter composition.
So they are, most definitely, yes.
So what kind of instruments are they playing?
Everything. There's a lot that they're having to bring because we've never heard of them. but definitely heavy on the vibes, heavy on the percussion. And they've actually got about four dancers that accompany them, and they show different videos behind them as they're performing.
They're from Belgium?
They are from Belgium.
Wow.
Now, we also have a band coming from Japan. They've actually made the trip before, the Sweet Hollow Lions. We've got two bands coming across the pond to join us for the weekend.
I've seen them before, and they're excellent. They're a great kind of 1920s, 1930s style string band, right?
Yes, definitely.
Who else have you got coming into town?
Well, you know, of course, King Kukulele. He's going to MC the entire weekend. He's a Hawaiian comic, and he's usually seen at most tiki events around the country. And we have from Florida, the Intoxicators from Tallahassee area.
They're great.
From California, we have the Smokin' Menehunes. This is their first time to come to the Hukilau.
What kind of stuff are they going to play?
They're mostly traditional hapahale.
So that's traditional Hawaiian music?
Correct.
Cool. You got the Gold Dust Lounge, a local favorite?
I have the Gold Dust Lounge from Florida, absolutely. Slippin' the Spinouts and Skinny Jimmy and the Stingrays from Florida as well.
So Slippin' the Spinouts is rockabilly, Skinny Jimmy and the Stingrays is surf.
That's correct, yeah.
Awesome, awesome. And what else is happening throughout these 4 days?
Well, we've got, of course, Marina the Mermaid is performing several times at the Rec Bar, the Yankee Clipper. She's also going to be doing a solo on Friday evening at the BMR. And we just got word that Angie Pontani, the Italian stallionette, burlesque queen, is going to be joining us that weekend as well. So she was just booked last week. She's a definite now.
Awesome.
She was a favorite of everyone a couple of years ago at the Hukilau. The symposiums for the weekend, for those of you that do not know, we have actual education going on, not just rum going down everyone's throat. We have things that you can learn, too. We've got Jeff Beachum Berry talking about Tiki's Dark Ages, kind of like the devolution of Tiki. We have RetroRenovation.com has created a symposium called Create Your Own Suburban Savage Paradise. We have four panelists from current Tiki construction, amazing guys that have constructed wonderful palaces across the country. And this symposium is going to tell everyone and going to show everyone quick tricks on how to create your own tiki bar in your house.
Oh, that sounds cool. So they're experts in interior design in the Polynesian style.
Yeah. You've got people like Bamboo Ben, who he's done all kind of different projects all around the country. Tiki Diablo, Basement Kahuna, and Cheeky Tiki. They're a group from the UK that has created a lot of tropical environments across the pond there.
Got any mixologists coming in?
We do. You know, we've got, of course, Jeff Beachman Berry, as I said. We've got Martin Kate coming in just as an attendee to have fun all the way from San Francisco and Smuggler's Cove. We've got Brian Miller coming in from New York. And we've got Philip Green, actually, is going to be doing a symposium as well based on his book, The Hemingway Cocktail Companion, To Have and To Have Another. That should be a fun symposium as well.
One of my favorite parts of this long weekend when the Hukilau comes every year is the bazaar. Tell us about the bazaar.
Well, the bazaar has everything from vintage shirts to vintage tiki mugs to new tiki carvings to vintage tiki carvings. They have everything you could possibly imagine to really create your own tropical environment. And, you know, a lot of people send me emails and ask me questions and say, what should I wear? What should I wear?
You could buy it at the bazaar and wear it that weekend.
Exactly. Yeah, there's people that bring an entire wardrobe with them and end up wearing only half of it because they buy their aloha wear there and they just, you know, and then there are people, I've known people that haven't even brought one shirt and end up going home with 10 of them. So So, yeah, it's really convenient. And if you, you know, and then they decorate their room with what they bought, you know, over the weekend, and it's a good time.
The main event, the big event on Saturday at the Maikai. Tell us a little bit about what happens then.
Well, everybody kind of comes together. For me and for Mrs. Thornton, she was married to Bob Thornton, one of the original owners of the Maikai, and what she says is that's how it used to be at the Maikai. When you look over the sea of people that are there wearing vintage Aloha wear, and they're all, you know, have a drink in their hand, they're all sharing, and they're just having that time together. That's one of the most special moments for me throughout the weekend, is that all these people, you know, almost 1,000 people, are coming just to share this weekend together. And we all care so much about the Maikai and the survival of it. You know, it's really the true jewel of the weekend.
Well, I know it's a lot of work for you as the organizer and catalyst to bring this to town every year. And I have to tell you, on behalf of South Florida, we really appreciate what you're doing. Thank you so much, Tiki Kaliki.
Absolutely. Thank you. Mahalo.
So go into your closet, dig out that Hawaiian shirt, or maybe your muumuu if you got one, and get on over to Fort Lauderdale Beach for one of the best parties of the year, the Hukilau. Aloha, everybody. This is Chris DeAngelis for South Florida Arts Beat.
Chris DeAngelis is a songwriter and musician who has performed throughout the state over the past 20 years in many musical genres. You can email him at molemachine1@yahoo.com. That's MOLEMACHINE and the number 1@yahoo.com. The 13th annual Hukilau will run Thursday, June 11th through Sunday, June 15th at the Bahia Mar Hotel on Fort Lauderdale Beach. The main event Saturday will be held at the Maikai Restaurant in Fort Lauderdale. Passes can be purchased during the event or online. For more info and advance tickets, go to thehukilau.com. That's HUKILAU.com. Reservations for Saturday's event at the Maikai can be made by calling them directly at 954-563-3272 or by visiting their website at maikai.com. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will continue here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM in just a moment.
The time is 1:45, and you're listening to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Great to have you along.
The mission of the Children's Services Council of Broward is to empower children to become responsible, productive adults, capable of realizing their full potential, hopes, and dreams. Information at cscbroward.org. Our focus is our children.
Hello, it's Bonnie Berman. Please join us for Monday's Topical Currents when we consider the future of public transportation in Miami-Dade County. We'll visit with Miami-Dade County Mayor Carlos Jimenez, Alexander Heckler from LSN Partners, and Dan Ricker, publisher of the Watchdog Report. That's Topical Currents, Monday at 1 o'clock.
South Miami-Dade Cultural Arts Center presents Broadway Unplugged by District Stage Company. This intimate evening features Broadway performers with songs from New York's most popular musicals. Friday, May 30th at 8:30 p.m. and Saturday, May 31st at 7:30 p.m. and 9:30 p.m. More information at smdcac.org or 786-573-5300.
Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Ed Bell with you. And now, Chef Norman Van Aken gives us a word on food.
I don't want French fried potatoes, red ripe tomatoes. I'm never satisfied. I want the frim-fram sauce with the offs and fade, with shafafa on the side. Shoot-doo-dee-doo-ya-doo-doo.
Hi, I'm Norman Van Aken, and welcome to A Word on Food. Today's word on food is caramelization. Inevitably, I have a conversation with nearly every chef that comes to work with me, as well as the students who attend my cooking classes. It has to do with a cooking term, caramelization. It is one of those skills that defy perfection for quite some time. In fact, many people think they are caramelizing just fine, thank you, but they aren't. They are typically either cooking too fast and burning, or cooking too slow and sweating. As a child, the charms of caramelization were found in the nearly burnt, but not quite, carrots of my mother's pot roast. As a teen, I loved going to a nearby family's home for their wonderful parties held in their backyard that showed off their Greek heritage cooking. Before we got into the driveway, I could see the spiral of smoke coming off their Weber grill, and I dashed to join them. Shish kebab was made memorable by the fire-tinged edges of the onions and bell peppers, maybe even more wondrous than the marinated grilled lamb. By the time I was in my very early 20s, I was living in Key West and finding caramelization in those life-altering sweet Maduro plantains that earned a highest point so far flavor flagstick in my brain and sent me packing to find out how to make things that taste as potent as those were. It took some time, but I got there. I was reading an article on the subject of physics the other day, and the gentleman writing the piece was discussing the winter sports of skiing, sledding, and skating. He illustrated that these three sports were examples of a type of classic mechanics that he reduced to what I found a unique term for those activities. The term he used was friction. The way to enjoy those sports was to control the friction. You wanted to go fast, but not too fast. It is precisely the same in cooking with the act of bringing food to a perfect degree of caramelization. Let's get a pan, some fat, and some food and hit the slopes, so to speak. I have started a trillion recipes like this. Have some olive oil and butter ready. Have some vegetables like chilies, garlic, onions, leeks, carrots, and fennel or celery ready too. Now, heat a heavy bottom pan and add the oil and butter. When the butter begins to melt, add the vegetables and stir well to coat them. Now, listen to them. Watch them and guide them, occasionally by moving them around the pan as the friction and heat do a tango of hug and release. Sounds simple, right? But it just isn't, not at first. Did you ever see a trick and decided it would be easy until you actually tried it yourself? I remember a boyhood buddy being really good with a bullwhip. He could make that thing crack. The day he showed me his prowess, he did it about 20 times flawlessly. Crack! I was dying to try my hand at it. Finally, he handed the length of rawhide over to me and stood back. I carefully lay that whip back behind me, just like I'd seen him do, and then I flung my arm forward with all my might. Crack! Right across my backside! Pain! Of course, I just kept trying, and he kept laughing. I hadn't learned yet how to control the friction. Such is life, caramelization, and bullwhipping. I'm Norman Van Aken, and that's my word on food.
Norman Van Aken is the author of the memoir, No Experience Necessary, The Culinary Odyssey of Norman Van Aken. Please tune in tomorrow morning at 8:34 on Weekend Edition to hear Caviar. And here's our South Florida Arts Beat entertainment calendar. And today we welcome back Mr. Andy Newman of the Florida Keys and Key West Tourism Council. Andy, I know you're down in the fabulous Florida Keys. I'm so jealous.
And Ed, welcome to summer 2014.
Oh, it's beautiful, I bet.
It's beautiful, and let's get right to the calendar here. First of all, in Key West, through July 31st, the 6th annual Key West Art Garden. It's at the Key West Tropical Forest and Botanical Garden, and besides the beauty of the foliage that's normally there, there are 19 sculptures, each made of recycled materials, and some are interactive. The garden, by the way, is open from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. daily. Down in Key West, there are three exhibitions that are in effect at the Key West Custom House. It's courtesy of the Key West Art and Historical Society. First of all, through June 30th, Marky Pearson, Night Visions in Technicolor. It is an art exhibition. And through September 30th, Key West or Bust. It's a history of tourism, exploring the history of visitor experiences in the Keys from 1920s until the 1980s. And a brand new exhibition at the Key West Custom House Museum starts on June 1st. That runs through September 30th. It's Will Fernandez. For more than a decade, Will Fernandez has been one of Key West's most enchanting artists. He paints, he sculpts almost entirely from memory, and makes so much of his work quite humorous and whimsical. A little bit of theater to talk about here in Key West. Last weekend for Red Barn Theater, Happy Meals, it's part of a Short Attention Spans theater collection. On June 8th, as we look at next month, Ed, celebrate World Oceans Day underwater. Very, very neat event here. This will be live streaming video of the Florida Keys underwater world. It'll come from Sand Key. It's 8.5 miles off Key West, 20 feet below the surface. Live underwater video camera from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Viewers can either tune in for the virtual undersea experience or make their own pledge to Mother Ocean, dive at the site, and have an underwater sign to talk about saving the world's oceans. And Ed, down in Key West, June 11th through the 15th, it's the Key West Pride Fest. It is an LGBT event. The five-day celebration includes a film festival, dance parties, drag shows, bike tours, water excursions, even a street fair, and a Pride in Our Community parade down Duval Street. Key West, June 13th to the 15th, the fifth annual Key West Bacchanalia. It's a food and wine event with a bit of a twist. Enjoy the Grand Tasting Village, Celebrity Cook-Off, Burger Wars, Bulldogs Barbecue, Seminar Center, and even a mixology competition. Still in Key West, the 13th through the 15th of June, the inaugural Mystery Writers Key West Fest. And also on June 14th, the Key West Island Swim, Florida Keys Community College Swim Around Key West. And let's take you from on top of the water to underwater. In Alamorada on June 18th, the History of Diving Museum presents Dolphin Defenders. Of course, the History of Diving Museum is located at mile marker 83. This is part of the free Immerse Yourself series. Begins at 7 p.m. and Dolphin Defenders is presented by Cal Goforth. Add two art strolls to talk about. Thursday, June 19th in Alamorada, the Morada Way Arts and Cultural District has its third Thursday art walk. Of course, it showcases the fine arts, the music, and culinary nuances of the Purple Isles, and it features national and local artisans who are showcased in galleries at Morada Way between mile marker 81 and 82. It's a really great event, Ed. You've got culinary art as well, and also live music from 6 to 9 p.m. And down in Key West, that same evening, the Walk on White monthly art stroll. It's a regular monthly neighborhood gallery stroll. It's best known among art lovers, held on the Island City's White Street from Southern to United Street and on to Truman Avenue from 6 to 9 p.m. And just quickly, Ed, we've got July coming up, and of course, July 4th events in the Florida Keys. There are fireworks celebrations from Key Largo to Key West, and also July 4th to the 6th, the Key Lime Festival. This is the second annual Key Lime Festival. And, of course, it is an all-American celebration of Florida's official and one of the most tasty pies. Ed, can you stand up and salute the sweet key lime pie and the tiny fruit that inspired it?
I am saluting, sir.
I hope you are because, Ed, I'll tell you something. Key lime pie was invented in the Key West, and the highlight of the entire celebration, besides the key lime pie eating contest, okay, is indeed the creation of the world's largest key lime pie. Last year's pie was 8 foot 1 inch in diameter. I am hearing that they're going to go for a 9 foot in diameter pie this year, and that is likely going to be able to feed close to 2,000 people.
Save me a piece. Man, that's something I could dive into.
Absolutely. We'll make sure that we get you the mask, snorkel, and flippers for that, Ed, okay? And talking about mask, snorkel, and flippers, Big Pine in the Lower Keys, Saturday, July 12th, it is the 30th anniversary of the annual Underwater Music Festival. It's off Big Pine Key, just a great event. We traditionally get some 600 divers and snorkelers that come out to Lukey Reef, part of the Florida Keys National Marine Sanctuary, to listen to a local radio station's four-hour commercial-free broadcast, and interspersed between the commercial-free music that is specially programmed for that underwater listening experience, there are public service announcements that talk about coral reef conservation and coral reef etiquette, and it is so important for us to save our coral reefs. And Ed, of course, there's much more information on these and so many other events in those fabulous Florida Keys. That Florida Keys website is flakeys.com.
That's Andy Newman of the Florida Keys and Key West Tourism Council. Thank you so much for all of that information, Andy. Great weekend.
And great weekend to you.
Calling all artists, the second annual International Endangered Art and Photography Contest is now accepting entries for the 2014 contest leading up to the Endangered Exhibition to be held in Miami during Art Basel Miami Beach. That's December 4th through 6th. The Endangered Exhibition will be on view. The contest challenges artists to interpret the word endangered as it applies to animals, plants, or the environment. Endangered is an online juried art contest with three entry categories: fine art, wearable art and jewelry, and photography. The contest is open to artists of all levels and ages. For more information, go to artforapes.com. Art, the number four, apes.com. Entry fees and proceeds support the Center for the Great Apes, a 501c3 registered nonprofit sanctuary for orangutans and chimpanzees. And for more information about Center for the Great Apes, go to centerforgreatapes.org. We'll rebroadcast South Florida Arts Beat tonight and every Friday night at 7 o'clock on our WLRN Extra HD channel. You can tune in on your HD radio or go to our website at WLRN.org for more information. And that's today's edition of South Florida Arts Beat. We hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Ed Bell, producer and host. Our theme was composed by Mike Levine and performed by Mike and Sam Levine. Paul Leary is our online producer. Thanks to our technical director today, Andy Wagner, and our contributors, Judith Bishop, Chris DeAngelis, Norman Van Aken, and Andy Newman. Please call us with your comments, 305-995-2258. You can fax us your event information to 305-995-2221. Or email it to us at info@WLRN.org. We'd like to hear from you. Monday at this time, Topical Currents with hosts Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman, Monday at 1 o'clock. Have yourself a great weekend, and please, as always, keep your dial set right here to 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM NPR for the Florida Keys. Until next time, this is Ed Bell saying bye-bye. Enjoy.
Once a month, our South Florida Arts